Morning. I hope you're doing well. We're going to continue through the book of Acts. We're going to finish chapter 20 today. Kind of a turning point in the book. So what we're going to look at today is Paul's farewell to the Ephesian elders. And this is kind of the end of his Gentile mission. This is the end of the third journey. From here, it's pretty much downhill for Paul. Not that it's been smooth sailing, but he's going to be brought in front of Jewish authorities, Roman authorities, and offer defenses and things like that. So, of course, this is the letter that, or the church that he sent the letter to of Ephesians to. He had spent a lot of time with these folks, so. This is him giving kind of a farewell message. I'm going to read through it, and then we'll talk about it a little bit. So we're going to begin in verse 17. We're going to go through verse 38. It says, "Now from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and summoned the elders of the church. When they came to him, he said to them, 'You know from the first day I set foot in Asia how I was with you the whole time, serving the Lord with all humility, with tears, and during the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. You know that I did not avoid proclaiming to you anything that was profitable or from teaching you publicly and from house to house. I testified to both Jews and Greeks about repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus. And now I'm on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in every town the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me. But I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course and the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And now I know that none of you among whom I went about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore I declare to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, because I did not avoid declaring to you the whole plan of God. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has appointed you as overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come among you, to, not sparing the flock. Men will rise up even from your own number and distort the truth and lure the disciples following them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that night and day for 3 years I never stopped warning each one of you with tears. And now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that I worked with my own hands to support myself and those who are with me. In every way, I've shown you that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. After he said this, he knelt down and prayed with all of them. There were many tears shed by everyone. They embraced Paul and kissed him, grieving most of all over his statement that they would never see his face again, and they accompanied him to the ship." So, again, we have the elders of the church of Ephesus. They come to Paul. And Paul gives a speech, and I just want to, highlight a couple things from it. First of all, I think, I think about Paul's focus of mission. So, you know, he clearly acknowledges the hardships and the threats that he's received, that he's gone through, and yet he stayed on mission. So, in verse 19, he says he served the Lord with all humility, with tears, and during the trials that came to me through the plots of the Jews. In verses 22 through 24, it says, "And now I'm on my way to Jerusalem, compelled by the Spirit, not knowing what I will encounter there, except that in every town the Holy Spirit warns me that chains and afflictions are waiting for me." you know, he knows. He knows about the resistance that's coming. He knows the pain, the trial, all of those things, and yet he carries on his mission. And I think, you know, for us today, as the church, we look at, good morning, Mickey. Hope you're well. You know, we look at the challenges facing the church today, and whether it be from secular culture, from the government, whatever it might be, we can tend to be fearful. We can tend to be distracted. But regardless of those challenges, we're called to a mission. We're the Great Commission. We're called to make disciples. We're called to baptize and teach to obey. And that mission will never be snuffed out. And we have to be, you know, willing to sacrifice more and more, particularly in the American church. I mean, a lot of Christians around the world are already under fear of true persecution, of jail, of death. You know, again, we just have to be ready for that. We haven't really in the American church experienced it very much. You know, the world is, the country, the culture is growing ever more hostile. And I think we can learn from Paul here that even in those challenges, even knowing that they're coming, even knowing that if we talk about Jesus, there may be consequences, whether it be just being ostracized and kind of being like an outcast, all the way up to losing a job, you know, and eventually maybe facing more serious consequences. But Paul knew trouble was coming, and yet he pressed on. And we need to be prepared to do the same and to be bold. Yet gentle. You know, mostly in this, you know, it's not that we need to scream at every person we pass on the street, but when we're called, when the Spirit prompts us to speak up, we need to be willing to speak up. And we need to trust God that regardless of the circumstances, that he will care for us. In verse 24, Paul says, "But I consider my life of no value to myself. My purpose is to finish my course in the ministry I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace." So that first phrase there, "I consider my life of no value to myself." It's a powerful statement. And, you know, really we as believers are called to the same. Excuse me. And it's not easy, right? We're taught to hold on to our stuff. To hold on, we want to be comfortable. We want to be, we want to have a place in society. And that's, you know, that's not really what we're called to. And again, not that, you know, the other extreme is to, is to go too far the other way, into, good morning, Diane. You know, to completely pull back from society, almost like the monks who would you know, go to a monastery and just completely isolate themselves, or the Jewish sect of the Essenes, who had the Dead Sea Scrolls that were discovered, you know, so we don't want to separate, so we're called to be in the world but not of the world. We're called to participate in the world. We cannot be salt and light in somewhere that we're not present. So we're not called to pull ourselves out of the world, but we all are called to be different than the world. Our interactions with people every day should look different than what most people's interactions look like. You know, when we're at the store and there's a long delay in a line, or you know, whatever it might be, we're called to be kind gentle and gracious in those circumstances. And then that's one way that we can be in the world, put ourselves aside, put our agenda, our time crunch, our self-importance aside, and live for the kingdom. And to do that, you have to put yourself aside, which is hard because we are by nature selfish people. And you know, hopefully as we grow in Christ, as we grow in our sanctification, we become less and less selfish and more outward focused. We get better and better with the help of the Spirit of loving our neighbor as we love ourselves. Without the Spirit, we pretty much love ourselves, right? Only with the Spirit's help can we love the other. And to do that, like Paul, we have to consider our lives nothing. And to consider the mission, the ministry that we've been given. Paul says, I believe in his letter to Colossians, we've been given a ministry of reconciliation. So Jesus reconciled us to God, not because we deserved it, fully by grace, which means it was a gift from God. And we're called to offer that same reconciliation, that same grace, to the world around us. And that's really a large part of our testimony as Christians. You know, we do have to testify with words. There was an old saying that said, you know, preach the gospel at all times. If necessary, use words. Well, words are certainly necessary. We have a message. We have good news to proclaim. But if our lives do not match with that good news, then our proclamation falls on deaf ears. And then, you know, it's interesting too. So moving on to verse 26, he says, therefore, I declare to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all of you, because I did not avoid declaring to you the whole plan of God. So again, I mentioned earlier, you know, when the Spirit prompts us to approach a person, and I confess, I've failed at this numerous times. You know, maybe you're in a coffee shop, you're at a sporting event or something of that nature, and God kind of points out a person to you and says, you know, hey, go talk to that person. And again, you have all the kind of selfish fears. maybe you have a schedule, you know, whatever it might be, that keeps you from doing that. And I think what's implied here is that we do have a responsibility to act on those promptings. You know, we often think of sin as the bad things that we do, sin as well as the good things that we don't do. And if we're so worried about ourselves, and so just wrapped up in our own world, in our own life, that's a sin as well. So we need to be, I mean, obviously, anything that the Holy Spirit prompts us to do, we need to be obedient to that. Jesus says, those that love God are the ones that follow his commandments. There is an obedience piece there that we need to follow. And here Paul is saying, hey, I have followed that. I have declared the gospel in light of everything that I faced, in light of imprisonment, in light of being flogged and beaten, in light of remember, Paul was a Jew of Jews, and now he's ostracized from that community. So he's truly given up everything to proclaim the gospel. So there's an innocence there for him. He has declared it. And another thing that we can take from that is it's our job to declare. The results are between that person and God. So, there's no one in our life that if we have proclaimed the gospel to them, if they do not follow Jesus, that is not on us. Which is beautiful. I mean, it takes the pressure off, right? Even our close, whether it be our children, our parents, our brothers and sisters, and things like that, we are not responsible for their final fate. As hard as that might be, we are responsible for telling them the good news, for living a life that reflects that good news, and being faithful again to the Spirit's prompting, whatever it might be. And then verse 33, Paul knows he's leaving. He knows he's not going to be there anymore. And he says, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all who are sanctified. So again, he's turning them over. He's no longer going to be physically with them. So he's turning them over to God. Not that they were ever really his to turn over, but at this point, he's been kind of the means that God has been communicating with them and spreading the gospel to them. And now, because he's moving on, he's committing them to God. And then finally, in verse, I believe it's, let's see here. 35, it says, in every way I've shown you that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, because he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that phrase there from Jesus has become pretty routine. It's become a little kind of pithy statement you could put on, a coffee cup or whatever it might be. And not that that's bad. Sometimes then we tend to not think about those things. We tend to not think of, maybe a little more deeply on how they apply to our lives. Where are we doing that well? Where are we not doing that well? He says, in every way I've shown you. So notice he is not only led in word, but he's led by example. He's shown them that it is necessary to help the weak by laboring like this and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. It's not good to help the weak. It's not suggested to help the weak. It is necessary. And that can show itself in multiple ways, right? Again, it can be the person that you see on the street that's struggling, or someone, as little as someone struggling to reach something in the grocery store and just helping them out. Someone who's stuck on the side of the road, if you can help them, you know, change a tire or whatever it might be. Volunteering at church, specifically at Mosaic, we have, 3 meals a month that you can volunteer at. The community comes in. We have a food pantry you can donate to. We have many, many opportunities to serve the poor and the weak. And those are things that we absolutely should be doing. In whatever way, we all have something. You don't have to be, a teacher on Sunday or on the worship team or, video production, whatever it might be. You don't have to have a specialized skill. Sometimes just being a greeter, smiling at folks when they come into church, serving someone coffee or a meal at these community dinners. Anyone can do that. And the Holy Spirit has gifted you with something. God has given us a gift. Paul says that in the church we all have different gifts. We tend to put some on a pedestal and maybe devalue others, but they're all important. Cannot overemphasize the importance of just a smile and a handshake on a Sunday morning to someone who's new, to someone who's wandered into, whether it's our church for the first time or a church for the first time. We all have something to give. We all have something that we can use to help the weak. And frankly, that does so much for our heart. Helping the weak, and I hate to even call them the weak, but that, I'm using that word because that's what Paul uses, but helping those who need help, just fills your soul as a Christian, because you're doing what you're intended to do. And, what I've often found is service is so much more fulfilling to me, maybe even than the person I'm serving. So those are some thoughts for today. We should always be putting ourselves aside. We're called to die to self. And again, it's hard to do. It's a process. It's not something that you just wake up and decide one day you're going to do. Really, you wake up every day and decide you're going to do it. And if you don't do it well today, you wake up again tomorrow. You continue to pray to the Holy Spirit to help you do that. Just stay faithful, regardless of how difficult it might be. Just continue to serve the Lord. Remember, what you do to the least of these, you're doing to Jesus. And what you don't do for the least of these, you're not doing for Jesus. So just be on the lookout for ways you can serve. Ways you can share the gospel. Ways you can be faithful. That's it for today. Hope to see you on Sunday. Also on Wednesday nights, we have, I believe, 3 weeks of our Wednesday prayer class discussion. First two have been awesome. Just the number of folks we had, but more the depth of discussion has been great. So if you can make it out to those, we'd love to have you at those. Those are 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. We have baptisms coming up on February 4th. If you haven't been baptized, It is an important step for a Christian. So if you are interested or have questions, you can contact me. You can contact any of the staff at Mosaic, and we can answer those questions and see if it's time to take that step for you. Otherwise, stay safe today. I know it's snowing, a lot of school closures and things like that. Thank you for those who are commenting. I do see them. Even if I don't respond to each one, man, I appreciate that. It's really good to be live and kind of interactive. I do enjoy that. So, hope to see y'all. Be safe and God bless.